Beginning the current daven says Yevamos daf nun dalet. Begins 7 lines down with the time of the Amud. The Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah of the previous daf, which opened up our perek, perek abal yevimtu. Now the Mishnah told us that no matter what the variation is, whether it was inadvertent or deliberate for a maisa's nus, or if let's say it was an unnatural way, many different variations of a maisa biya between the yavam and the yevama, in all these circumstances, the Mishnah said that that will be considered a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. Hence, if he would want to remove her now, all he would require would be a get. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, from where do we know all these variations that, even if, let's say, there's Hara, you didn't even do a complete Bia, that they're considered valid Bia in the context of the Halacha of Yibum. So the Gemara said, turn point like we learned in the Braisa. The Pasuk says, Yavama Yavay Aleha, that the Yavam of this Yavama should be Baalah, should cohabit with her. Now that the understanding is mitzvah, that is a person should do a mitzvah of Yibum. That's one interpretation. Daba Acher, another understanding of that pasuk is that Yavama Yavay Aleha, that her Yavam should be Ba on her, that's in all situations will be a fulfillment of Ba Aleha, meaning Be Mishayu, whether it was an inadvertent, he thought she was someone else. Be'im amazed whether he was deliberate, meaning he wanted it for an illicit relationship. Be'im ainus, whether he was coerced. Be'im beratzin, whether he was willing. In all circumstances, if it's ba'ala, then it's a fulfillment of yavama yavayala. Now the Gemara asks, I don't understand, what does that mean, davar achar, va'afikse, but you already used this term of yavama yavayala, la'mitzvah, to say that it's a positive commandment. You can't learn from those terms that yavayala, that what, however you're ba'ala, that will be a fulfillment, because it's coming to tell you that there's a mitzvah. You would need an extra terminology to say that, oh, and then in all circumstances. Nothing more than answers, no. The mitzvah, for the idea of that there's a mitzvah, a positive commandment of doing gibum to the Obama, that's from a different pasuk. Meve'im lo yachpetze ishnafka. We learned it out from when the pasuk talks about chalitza, where it says that if the man doesn't desire the yavam to do gibum to the Obama, well, then he does chalitza. Now, the inference is, halchafetz yibum, but if he wanted to, then he should do yibum, meaning that there's a mitzvah to go ahead and do yibum. And therefore, v'chiyasa kro, when the other pasuk of Yavama Yavaleh comes, it's coming to tell you, not for the mitzvah, because that we know already from the inference by chalitza, rather, b'im b'shagi, b'im emezi, b'im einis, b'im b'ratzen. That's one component of our Mishnah, where these elements are learned out from the words Yavama Yavaleh. Now, Tani Nuch learned another b'raisa, which in there we learn out other components of our Mishnah, which are also included in the Maisa Bia for the mitzvah of Yibam. It says in the pasuk Yavama Yavela, which was just quoted, that the Har Yavam should be Ba, should cohabit with her, with the Yavama. Now that, from just that pasuk alone, we would know Kidarka. That's in the natural way, in the place of the Makam Besulim, Ulakacha. But then the pasuk says, and he should take her. That's Shaloi Kidarka. That's in the unnatural way, meaning the pasuk, by adding this word Ulakacha, is coming to say, no matter how you take her, meaning even in the unnatural way, meaning anal, that will also be considered a kinyan in the Yavama. Now the Braisa continues and says that v'yabim, meaning from this word v'yibma, just the fact of that it used the term yibim, forget about the whole word v'yibma, which the Braisa shortly will explain from that actually another halacha, but the fact that it uses the term yibim in the fulfillment of the mitzvah with the Yavama, that comes to teach you that b'yagoy merisba, that what concludes the acquisition of the Yavama is only the act of cohabitation. But in Kesav Ishtar Garmiba, however, although we said that rabbinically there's something called Maimer, but money and a document, which although those two out of the three with Bia usually works for a regular woman, but regarding the Yavama, the only thing that really biblically concludes the acquisition is only Bia, not a document and money. Now, the Yibma, the fact that he used the term and that he should do Yibim Tahar, that comes to include Bal Karcha, meaning even against her will. He can force her in the act of Yibum. That's what this Braisa learns from this pasuk. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, we said before in the first Braisa, Dava Acher, what's the second interpretation, which we said really is the primary, because the first part of saying that Yavama Yavaleh is La Mitzvah, that we actually learn out from somewhere else. So it says that what does Yavama Yavaleh come to teach us? Be'meshagi v'chula, whether in all these variations of Be'meshagi, Be'meze, Be'ingas, Be'ratza. Now the Gemara asks, as we see in the second Braisa, but va'fikse l'kadarka, Yavama Yavaleh, you're right, it's not necessary to tell you La Mitzvah, because that we know from Be'im lo Yachpitz. But it's necessary to tell you that, first of all, that the kin of Yibim is in the regular way. And then the other part of Lukacha teaches you Shalakadarka. But it's not extra to tell you that however the Bia is, meaning even Ba'inis, Baratzin, B'Shagi, or B'mezin. Another Gemara says, no, actually, Ahu, that of regarding Kedarka, and meaning in the normal place of where relations usually occur, that's Melahakim La'achiv Shem Nafka. We learned that out from the pasuk that says that what is he going to be accomplishing with Yibum, that then he'll be able to establish a name for his brother who died without any children. By having children from his brother's wife, he'll be establishing his brother's family. That means b'makim shemekim shem. That means to say that the relations with the yam niyav vama to fulfill the mitzvah yibum has to be in a place where he could create children to have a name for him, and therefore v'chiasakra. So therefore, the pasuk of yavam yavaleha, that's not coming to teach you kedarka, because that already know from lachav lachav shem, where that's obviously relations in the place where it's normally had, that that's where you can have children from. It must be that yavam yavaleha comes to teach you b'mishagim b'meizah b'ma'ines b'imberatz. Now the Gemara returns to Amarok's statements that we had mentioned on the previous daf regarding the understanding, what the Gemara was attempting to understand, what is the case of ba'oinis, of being coerced in the ma'isa of bia. So Gufa, we had said that Amar of Yehuda, he said, yashin lekana b'yavimta. If someone is sleeping, and although he can have an erection, he could have kishui, however, if then the Yavama cohabits with him, that will not be an acquisition of Yibam. Now, the reason is the Amakra, because the Pasuk says, which we're quoting now, Yavama Yavaylau, that her Yavam should cohabit with her, which means to say, Ad Mechavin Lo L'Shem Bi, until he intends for it to be an act of cohabitation, he has to be Yavaylau. It's not that they're just having a union in a physical way. It has to be, that's his intention, that's what he's being Yavaylau, and therefore when he's sleeping, when he's not doing that, he doesn't have Das, hence that will not be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibam. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Vatayla in the Braisa, it says, Bein Er Bein Yashin, whether awake or whether sleeping, that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Gemara answers, Eima say Bein Era Bein Yashena, in the female, meaning in the feminine, that whether she's awake or whether she's sleeping, that doesn't make a difference, because we don't need her das, because actually you could do Yibum even Balkarcha. But him, no, he would have to be awake to make a kinyon. Now, that the Gemara asks, but Vatayla in the Braisa, it says explicitly, Bein Er Hu Bein Yashin, who, whether he's awake or he's sleeping, Bein Er He Bein Yashena He, whether she's awake, whether she's sleeping, doesn't make a difference. They're cohabiting, that will be fulfillment of the mitzvah Yibum. So I think my answer is no. Hachmai Skinner, when the Brayis over here said that even if he's sleeping, doesn't mean sleeping, because then you don't have Das, and then it's not Yavam Yavaylau. It's Toma B'misnam, that when he's dozing off, that's what the Brayis means, that even sleeping will work. So the Gemara asks, Hechad B'misnam, what's the case to qualify for dozing off but not sleeping? Amar Ravashi says, Nim V'loy Nim, is that he's dozing, sleeping but not sleeping, Tir V'loy Tir, awake but not awake. In other words, Kikin the Karalei V'ani. If you call him, he'll answer, but he won't be able to answer something logical and coherent. But when you remind him of something, he remembers. So he's somewhere in the middle. That type of sleeping, which is dozing off, that will be enough considered das to acquire a yavama in the midst of yibam. But totally sleeping, that's like Rabbi Yehuda says, that yashon loikana. Now, Gufa, we also quoted on the top of the summit from the previous staff, that Amar Rabbi said, nafam in agag v'nitka. If someone falls, had an erection for his wife on the roof, and he falls off from the roof, benitka, and then he gets inserted, he falls into a woman. So, chayiv babardvam, so he's liable for four things. Ubiyavimtu lekana, and however, if he got inserted into his yavama, although he thus is an act of cohabitation, but he won't acquire her again because there was no intention for a maisabiyah. Now, the Gemara explains that, what are these four things that Rabbi says that he's liable for? So these are four things that you're always liable for when you create damages. First of all, benezek is the actual damage. In other words, you evaluate this woman as if she was a maidservant being sold in the marketplace. How much was she worth before she got injured, and how much less would she be sold for now that she's injured? Then there's bitzar, you have to pay for the pain that was incurred by the woman. Beshebes is now her loss of work. And beripoya, the medical bills, how much it would cost to heal her. Now, however, the Gemara notes there's one thing that's prominently missing. Avabaishis lemechayev. However, generally there's a liability of embarrassment that was caused to it also. In this case of Rabbi, he would not be liable, damamar, as the master said, ein chiv ala baishis atchiskaven. The responsibility of embarrassment caused by an act of damage is only until it's intended. And here he fell off the roof, and thus creating the damage to her, he's not liable for baishis. Now, related to this topic about intending an erection for one thing and then ending up in something else, so Amar Rabba says, Niskaven la tiach ba kaisel. If he intended to insert himself into a wall, Now, that's obviously not intending for an act of cohabitation because he's just going into a wall. But v'tich b'yavimtoi. However, then he ended up inserting himself into the yavama. That, Rabbi says, loikonle, he's not acquired her because, again, he didn't intend for any act of bia. However, if latich b'behema, if he intended to insert himself in an animal, v'tich b'yavama, and then, by mistake, he inserted himself in the yavama, then actually, konle, then he has acquired her. Tokamachavin l'shem bia ba'olam. Because although essentially it's like an oinus, but since he intended for some act of cohabitation, which is inserting himself into another being, although that was bestiality, that was an animal, but it was an act of bia, which you don't have by a wall, and therefore when you end up going into the yavama, that is considered an act of bia which was intended, although it wasn't intended for har, but that is an act of bia that he was intending, hence that would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of yibum. Now, another element that the Mishnah told us will be considered an act of bia is even echra ma'ara, even someone that does what's called hara will acquire, which is just the beginning of the act of cohabitation, not totally inserting, even that would be considered a fulfillment of that mitzvah. So Amar Ula Ula says, minayin hara minatar. Where do we know of this concept? That even if you're not doing a complete maisa bia, but just that beginning stage is biblically considered like a maisa bia. Like it says in Pasuk B'Yikra. It says, a man that will lay with a woman that's menstruating, that's a nida, and he will reveal her nakedness. As he has bared her source. And therefore, this is where you see the concept of hara, just bearing it. In other words, just actually, just the beginning stage of that is already considered biblically as gila arayis. So, although you didn't have a full maisa bia, but that's already considered biblically as an act of hara. Now the Gemara asks, Ashkecha nida, so fine, you have a source for ra that is considered be in the sense of, let's say in that context of having violated the isra of having be with a nida. B'shar ra'is minayin, how do you know by other forbidden relationships that even just doing her ra is going to be considered ma'isa bia that you would be liable for that? V'chitem enel v'nida, if you're going to say that you should learn from nida, well, nida is a forbidden relationship, although it's you're married, but it's a forbidden union, also over here. But you can't say that because mala nida shekim etam ez boyalo. We find certain stringencies by nida that doesn't apply anywhere else. Where by a nida, she actually makes the man that has relations with her contract and have the same tumah that she has for 7 days. As the pasuk Mayikra Tezvav says about this, he nidasa alav. Suddenly he gets the tumas nida and he's tumah shevis yam, which is unique where no one ever gets the exact transference of what the woman that is forbidden to on himself also. So maybe only over there we said hara will apply because it's a very stringent halacha. So ella rather asim eshesach. We would know the concept of hara from one's brother's wife. It says v'isha sheikachas eshes achim. If a man will take his brother's wife, nida he, she's a nida. So we see the pasuk is calling the brother's wife, which is an erva, as a nida. Now the question is a brother's wife forever considered as a nida, and that never leaves her? So obviously, she's not a nida; she's not a menstruating woman, and it's not something that remains forever. Elikanida means like a nida. What does that mean? Manida b'hara, just like we just saw from the pasuk, that nida is considered a violation, even with hara af eshes achbara. Also, a brother's wife is also we see from the equation of nida. Also violating with hara. Now, however, the Gemara asks, how could you learn all the other ayahs from Eish HaSach? Because Ma'al Eish HaSach, we find a certain stringency by a brother's wife too. Shekein b'yadoi, where it's within the realm of any person, l'rabois to thus make, to marry many women, which makes all these women that he's constantly marrying forbidden on his brothers because of Eish HaSach. Because the Ibai, Mekadosh Vazal Ki Alpha, if he wants to, he could marry up to 1,000 women. Now, therefore, how can you resolve to say that other arayis would be forbidden because of the in hara, just like we find by Eish HaSach, as Rashi explains? Maybe you'd be able to illustrate to other arayis that are forbidden because of marriage. For example, Eish HaSav, or his daughter-in-law, or his mother-in-law, or his wife's sister, where those are forbidden relationships based on marriage. Which is the same thing by Eish HaSach, which are some things that you create that erva by marrying more and more women. All these women are becoming Eish HaSach. But regarding, let's say, one's mother, one's sister, one's daughter, or stuff like that, where they are not within the person's realm to create them, they are by birth, so how do you know that they would also be included in hara, being aser? You only know things that you could create there, so like by Eish HaSach. So El Rav, the Gemara says, you're right, not from Nida, not from Eish HaSach, but asim achis av achis aim, we will learn it out from a father's sister, meaning his aunt by being his father's sister, or his mother's sister. The Sefer says a pasuk in Vayikra. It says, "Ve'ervas achis imcha v'achis avicha leisagali." You're not allowed to have a relations with your mother's sister or your father's sister. Ki asher hera, because this is having a relationship with his relative, meaning it's his relative, it's his aunt, either from his father or from his mother. So you see the term hara over there. Hence, we see over there that hara is forbidden, and we learn that from the mother's sister or the father's sister. But the Gemara still says you can't learn from there either. And that the Gemara asks, ikla mifrach, you could ask and say here also that you can't learn from there. Because malachis, avachis, im shekin, isaba me'elov, the isser of one's father's sister, one's mother's sister, is a process that comes by itself. In other words, you'd be able to learn out certain arayas from achis, avachis, im. For example, a mother, sister, a daughter, that's a naturally isser that no one could create that. And therefore, that's the same thing by a father's sister or a mother's sister, where just being born by this father makes you forbidden and his sister. Whereas, how can you say that other arayas that come because of kedushin, that there it would also be forbidden based on hara? Maybe it's only things that are bomei elof. Well, so that the Gemara says, okay, fine. Mechado le'asi, right? Each one you keep on telling me that one was from kedushin, so you can't learn natural ones from. This one's natural, you can't learn kedushin from. So mechado le'asi, you can't learn from one of them. But learn out one from two. In other words, you can learn out the rest of the rise from a combination. So the Gemara is Mahete. So which one are the two? You want to join them together and say that you can learn all arise from there. So the Gemara says, ach, you can learn out from the combination of the brother's wife and the father's and the mother's sister. Because then, whichever way you ask, we have an answer. If you're going to say you can't learn from achis av, achis em, because that's isab me'elav, so I'll tell you, eshes ach is techiach. But then you're going to say, what do you mean, eshes ach, it's beyond the l'rabbis, you can make more wives to make more brothers forbidden on more women. Well, that achis av, achis em would techiach, because that's isab me'elav, that you cannot create. And then it goes back and forth, and you say, what's the tzadashah, what's the common denominator of both of them? Say that they're forbidden because of erva, and they made hara the same as gemar be, like a full cohabitation, so do you learn all arise from there? Nothing more says, it's still not. You would still have a question that would not answer all arayas to know that the hara is like a full-fledged bia. Because malahanach shekin asur mishum she'er. Those two, a brother's wife and a father's or mother's sister, are forbidden because they're relatives. So you're right, all types of relatives would be able to learn out from there that hara would be forbidden. But an ashes ish, a married woman, which does not come because of a she'er, how would you know over there the hara with a married woman would be the same as a gemar bia? So the Rav Digma says, from a different two. Tesim minida v'achis av v'achis em. You can learn it out from nida, which it says hara there, and by a father's or mother's sister, which there you have a naturally occurring one. So the Gemara says, malahanach shekein nisaba me'elav. Why? You can't learn from those two, because both of those come by itself. It's not something that you could create, and therefore maybe that would include, and not those that come through kedushin. So El Rav, the Gemara says, you know which two really says it all? Tesim minida ve'eshesach. Learn it out from nida and eshesach. The Ma'aparach says, what would you ask? If you ask that something that nida is something that comes by itself, but you have eshesach, which you could create through kedushin. You ask eshesach through kedushin. You have nida that disproves that. And therefore, and nida is neither forbidden because of a she'er. It's something that's forbidden to anyone. Therefore, you answered all the questions, and that would be the two that you learn out, that we know the halach of hara for any act of cohabitation. Which the Gemara asks, however, maskevah ravacha b'ridav iko, says it's still a difficulty, that you wouldn't know. Because mala nidav eshesach, there's something unique to nida and eshesach. Shekin ein lahem heter b'chaye oisran. There is no permissibility in those forbiddennesses of, let's say, nida and eshesach, during the time when the thing that makes them usher is still around. In other words, for example, as long as someone is alive and she's still menstruating, that the woman is going to be forbidden no matter what the situation is. So too, a brother's wife, as long as the brother is alive, even if he divorced her, she's going to be forbidden. Now, Taimer Be'esha says, how would you know a married woman? Shekin yesh lo heter b'chaye oisra. There, even when the thing that made this woman forbidden, which was her husband, that as long as he gave her a get, then she's permitted to everybody else, even though the thing that made her us originally is still around, how could you know that from Nida and Eshesach? Because Nida, the thing that makes her forbidden, which is her menstruating blood, if that's still around, she's forbidden. So to the brother, if he's still alive, even divorced, she's forbidden. How would you know the same thing would apply to something that's seemingly less stringent in the sense of that it's permitted even though the thing is alive, which is the halach of Eish HaSish, if she's divorced? So, Amalei Rav Acha Medivtel Ravina, he answered back by asking, Atu Nida ve'Eish HaSach, do you think that a Nida and Eish HaSach, Bechaye Eishun Hu De'Ein Lem Heter? What, you think it's only, as you're saying, a stringency that during the time of when the thing that makes it forbidden, then there's no Heter? But that afterwards, in other words, you make it sound like as if the thing making it forbidden is so stringent because as long as that's around, there could be no heter. Whereas Eishes Ish, even though the thing that made it forbidden originally, even though it's still around, as long as there was a get, it could be permitted. Is that really so that Nida, as long as the dam, meaning it's the dam that's so stringent, as long as that's around, she's asra, and the Eishes Ach, as long as the brother is still around, she's forbidden? But it's not true. It's not because of the thing that's making it us is so stringent, because Nida, as the Gemara continues, Amud Beis, B'yoy Meital Yemilsum, the purification of a Nida to be permitted to a man depends on counting days. That is, even if the thing that made her forbidden is not around anymore, meaning in this case, if let's say the blood that she saw the first time is not here anymore, it doesn't make a difference. She's still forbidden for 7 days. It's not the stringency of the blood, because even if the blood's not here, she's still forbidden. So to Eishes Ach, Bebonim Tal Yerachmana, by a brother's wife, it's not because the brother is such a stringent thing that even though he's divorced her, but as long as he's still around, he'll make her forbidden, whereas by Eishes Ish, because we find by a brother, it's not because he's around, because even if he's dead, as long as he has children from her, still the brother will be forbidden forever. So you see, it's not him or the blood, the thing that's assering, that's making it forbidden, that's such a stringent thing. So how can you say that we wouldn't learn that Eishes Ish, where even though the thing that's making it forbidden is still around, it's going to be permitted when he divorces her, if we see that that's not the element by Eishes Ach and Nida, that it's such a stringent thing, because even when the thing's not around, it's forbidden. When you have to count the 7 days of Nida, or when you have children from Eishes Ach. So the Gemara rather amends the question. Rather, the question that should be said is something similar but different. Mala Nida ve'Eishes Ach, just like we find by Nida and the brother's wife, that there's something unique about them which is not by Eishes Ish. Shekein ein oisran matiran, where the thing that's making it forbidden cannot permit it. In other words, it's not within the realm of the thing that's making it forbidden to then thus make it permitted. Rather, it has to be something else that will permit the Nida and the Eishes Ach. By the Nida, it's the counting of 7 days. And by Eishes Ach, it's when he dies without any children. However, time of Be'eishes Ish, which you see, it's more lenient in the sense of She'eisa Matira, the man who made her forbidden, which was her husband, making her into a married woman, is the same thing that can make her permitted by giving her a get. And therefore, how can you learn that out from Nida and Eishes Ach, where the thing cannot make it permitted, therefore it's more stringent, and maybe the hara is like Gemara Bia. Who said the same thing would apply by Eishes Ish? So Elarab, the Gemara says you're right. We don't know it from these three, a combination of two of them, to learn out Tzad HaShava. Rather, Rabbeinu says, V'itam, and some say it's Rav Huna B'Reidu Rishua, which this is very well known as Hekesh Rabbeinu, Amakra. Because the Pasuk says in Meyikra, Ki kala she'yasa mekala to'eva Yisrael, whoever does from any of these abominations, which talks about all the arayas in that parsha, V'nechrusu ha'nafash ha'sa'oises, then those who do these acts will be cut off, will get karas. Now, hukshu kala arayas kula l'nida. So all the arayas are being compared one to the other. It's putting them in one big category. Now, one of those written over there is nida. Therefore, all the arayas are being equated also to nida. And therefore, manida b'ara, just like nida is considered an act of forbidden cohabitation with just having her ra, afkal bara, also all the other ra'is are even with her ra. And that's the source. Hekesh Rabbi Yoina tells us how we know her ra applies to all acts that are forbidden cohabitations. Now the Gemara goes back. If that's the case, then ve'ela nida d'chsiva gabe eishes ach, then this that we pointed out on Amud Aleph, that we had originally thought to learn out her ra of eishes ach, by the Pasuk comparing it to Nida. So the question is, Lamali, why does the Pasuk there have to say Nidahi, which we thought is to tell you that halacha, but now that we know it all from Akesh Rabbi Yaina, everything learns out straight from Nida, why does Eishes Ach have to have the term Nida written by it in the Pasuk? So I think Mar says, you're right, that's for teaching a different halacha, like Rav Huna. Rav Huna, like Rav Huna said, Remez liyavam in that terminine. Rav Huna had asked the question, what's an allusion to the concept of a yavama from the Torah, which the Gemara quickly asks, benign? What does that mean? Haksiv yavama yavalet. It says explicit in the pasuk that har yavam should cohabit with her. That's the mitzvah of yibum. What does it mean, an allusion to it? Ella rather, his question was, remez liyavama sha'asura b'chaye b'ayla minayim. How do you know, an allusion, that however that yavama is forbidden to the yavam when her husband is still alive? Meaning if, let's say, the brother who ends up dying without children, let's say he divorces her when he's still alive, how do we know that then the yavam is at that point still forbidden to the yavam? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Hay svarhi, why would you need a pasuk? That seems logical. From the fact that the Torah tells you, when is the yavam permitted in his brother's wife? That's only when his brother dies without children. That would infer that as long as he's still alive, that then she would be forbidden. Why would you need any remez to that, any pasuk to tell you that? So that the Gemara gives two approaches. No, maybe it would be necessary to say a pasuk, because if a dilma, maybe, la'achar mises by la mitzvah. You're right, the Torah tells you the mitzvah of Yibim after he dies. Maybe that's to tell you that's because then it's a commandment. But when the husband is alive, then it's not a mitzvah, but it's not forbidden either. Maybe then it's permissible. As Taisa actually says, because from the fact that the Torah permits Yibum with the brother's wife after he dies, it wouldn't be logical to say that she's forbidden when the husband is still alive, because it's not a stopper to say that the pasuk is coming to tell you that a positive commandment of Yibum will be overriding a negative prohibition that has karis, unless it's obvious from the pasuk like that. But if not for that, we would have thought to say that no, she's never forbidden even when he's still alive. It's just that that's not the mitzvah, then it's a reshus. And mitzvah is only after he dies. Or Inami, we would have said, you're right. L'achar mizah b'ayla'in. You're right, the mitzvah even only applies after the husband dies. But the inference that, however, that would make it forbidden, b'chaya b'ayla'loi, but if he's still alive, then it's not, that would only be an inference of yavama yavala'o, when, after he dies, but when he's still alive, then it's forbidden. But that's what's called a v'alava b'machla'a se'aseh. All that would be a negative prohibition that's inferred from a positive command, which makes it a category of a positive commandment, but that there wouldn't be karis, that's what I would have thought to say. So therefore, how do you know this? How do you know this remez that the yavama actually is considered an eishes ach sheyesh bekaris, even if he doesn't have children when he's still alive? As we said, two approaches that we would have thought to say that either it wouldn't be forbidden, it would be reshus, or it would be forbidden, but all it would be a mitzvah to say, not karas. That's what the pasuk says, Amayikra, that we quoted before, v'ish ashayikach es eishes achav, that a man that takes his brother's wife, nidihi. Now, the question is, v'chi eishes achav nidihi, does that necessarily mean that his brother's wife is menstruating? What does that mean? Elikanida means that she's like a nida, meaning, ma nida avapishish lehet la'achamekan, even though a menstruating woman is only forbidden for now, but after she finished menstruating, then she's going to be permitted. But bishas isura bekaris, but at the time when she's forbidden, when she's in nida, then if one cohabits with her, it's a punishment of karis. Afish asachnami, that comes to teach you also regarding your brother's wife. That af bishesh lehet lachmekan, even though after, at a later point in time, when his brother will die without children, she's going to be permitted. But b'chaye b'ayla bekaris, at the time of when it is forbidden, when the husband is still alive, then there's going to be a punishment of karis. That's what we learn now from the term of nida, because we don't need it to tell you hara, because that, as we said, we know that from Akesh Derbiyena, which all the arises are compared to nida, and therefore it comes to teach this other halacha of Rav Huna. Now, so the Gemara continues this line of questioning. We said three things that says hara. We said nida, which everything's learning from nida. Then we said eishesach, and then we had another one. So why do you need it to say the term havara also by a father's or mother's sister that it's forbidden? Again, we don't need to learn hara from there because we would already know it from the hekesh of Rabbi Yehuda. So that the Gemara says, that's to teach you also a different halacha. Like the Bayimene Ravina Merava, like Ravina had asked from Rava. He asked him, Hama'ara bezachar mahu, what's the halacha if someone engages in homosexuality with just hara, not doing a full cohabitation, but inserting it by the other male? So the question is, what would the halacha be? Would that be considered the issa of mishkav zachar? So the Gemara asks, b'zachar, is that really your question by a male? But on that, Mishkevei Isha Ksiva, it says there in the Pasuk in Vayikra Yud Ches Chav Beis, it says, Ve'ezachar li Sishkab, that however this man should not lay with a male. The Pasuk says, Mishkevei Isha, the layings of a woman. And there's a Pasuk ends of Te'evi because it's an abomination. Now, since by a woman, as we just proved, that Hara is considered Mishkav, because we know all women are learnt out from Nida, so obviously, when it's going to be forbidden by male too, because by male, by Zohar, it says Mishkevei Isha, the layings of a woman. And regarding a woman, we said Hara is like a Maisa Bia. So what would be the question if the same thing would apply by Mishkav Zohar? So the Gemara says, you're right. The question rather was, Ela Hama'or B'Behema, regarding someone that does not conclude the act of cohabitation with the animal, just the beginning process. The question over there was Mahu. What would the halacha be over there? On that, Amalei, so that's what Rabbi said to him. If there's no seemingly purpose, this that it says hara by the father's sister or the mother's sister, as we had said, because that we already know hara for those from the comparison of Rabbi Yaina. So why does it say it over there, which was our question? That's actually what Rabbi comes to tell him. So must be coming to teach a different halacha, which is to say that hara would apply for the iser even of cohabiting with an animal. So that's the reason for saying ma'or by chesav or chesem. But the Gemara asks, let's see. Behema, chiv emisis besnhi, bestiality, having relations with an animal, is a punishment that's liable by the courts to be killed. So the question is, my time exiv lahara dida gabachiva krisa. So why would it say it by an inference by a chais av, a chais aim, which are not chiv emisis besn, because it doesn't say in the pasuk misa, must be that it's just a punishment of karas. Why don't you do something, even if you're not saying in the parasha of Behema, but Lichtav Gabi Mises Bezdin, it should have been written, this allusion to Hara, by something that's a punishment by the courts. For example, by a mother or a mother-in-law. And then you'd say the same thing. Hemeina Inyan, why does it say by mother or mother-in-law? Because you already know from Akesh Rabbi Yaina. Must be, it's come and tell you, by animal. And Menelev Mises Bezdin, Mises Bezdin. Then we would have learned a Mises Bezdin from a Mises Bezdin. Why allude to it by something that's only a Chiv Karis, to learn out for Behema, which Lechiv Mises Bezdin. So the Gemara says that the reason is because I did the Kulei Kra. Since that whole Pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, which talks about by a father's sister or by a mother's sister, is Ledrasha Asi, as the Gemara will shortly teach in the Braisa, that all of it is expounded. And therefore, Ksiv Beinami HaMilsa, therefore it also said this element of Hara, which was also unnecessary, Ledrasha also to expound to tell you for Behema. You're right, really it should have been by Mises Bezdin, learn Mises Bezdin. But since that whole Pasuk anyway is used for Drasha purposes, so we add another component for Drasha for something else for Behema. So the Gemara asks, my Drasha, what's this that you're saying, that whole Pasuk was used for expounding purposes, that we already put it there and expound another halacha for Behema? The time like learn the Braisa. So Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra in Parashas Achrei Mois, which this is the first Pasuk that talks about this Isser of the Erev HaChais Ava of HaChaisim, which is Perek Yud Ches in Sefer Vayikra. Pasuk says, Ervas achis avicha loisagali, that the nakedness of your father's sister you shouldn't reveal. Now, the inference is, bein, whether she's your father's sister mina av, bein minaim, whether she's his paternal sister or maternal sister, meaning if they share the same father or same mother. Now, on that, the Braisa says, is that really the case? Ataimer bein minav, bein minaim, would that be that whether she's a paternal sister or maternal sister, or maybe it's not true. Maybe the Isra of Achais Av would only be if their paternal sister, not the maternal sister. Now, Bedinu, it would seem to be the following Kavochema, the following logic. Chayev kan v'chayev b'achaisai. That is, there's a liability over here by Achais Av, and there's a liability by one sister. Now, ma'achaisai, just like we find by a sister, it's Beimina Av, Beimina Aim. It's whether it's paternal or maternal, as the Pasuk says explicitly, Basa Vichoi Basimecha, sister is a violation, whether it's the son, the daughter of your father or the daughter of your mother. So Afkan, so the same logic you'd say is also over here by your father's sister, is Beimina Av, Beimina Aim, is even if it's your father's paternal sister or father's maternal sister. That's one theory. Or Klachal Derechzu, the Braisa says, no, maybe go a different direction. Because chayav kan v'chayav b'deidasai, there's a liability over here by your father's sister, and there's a liability by your aunt, which is your father's brother's wife. And therefore, ma deidasai min ha'av v'lo min ha'im, if we find by an aunt, which is only your father's brother's wife, meaning if your uncle was your father's brother paternally, not maternally. If it's maternally, actually, should we not be considered an Erev? As the Gemara actually later on will ask us, how do we know this? And therefore, if we find by the aunt, it's only if it's your father's paternal brother's wife, not your father's maternal brother's wife. So Avkam and Avalemanim. So also over here, we're talking about your father's sister. Maybe they would also be only if it's your father's paternal sister, not maternal sister. So the Brisa continues. It says, okay, so Nir Lemidayim. Let's see. So you're right. You could compare it to a sister, this halach of your father's sister, or you can, meaning your own sister, or you can compare it to your aunt. And either one would be either one, or one would only be paternally. So let's see which one it's more similar to. Dan and Isra Boma Elov. Let's equate an automatic Isra, meaning what's called a chais aviv, his father's sister, is not something that he creates. He's born into it. Let's learn that Isra Boma Elov to also an Isra that he's born into it, which is his sister. He doesn't create that. And therefore, you can't prove from an aunt, Shein Isra Bo Me'elav, which is not a self-made Isser. In other words, the Isser only comes by his father's brother, meaning by his uncle's marriage. That creates the Isser of Doidasai, which is not like all these other relatives which come by birth. Or maybe not, maybe you should learn out. Because Dan and Krevi Ha'ab, maybe you should learn out the relatives of one's father, which is the halacha that we're discussing, Machais Aviv, Mikrevi Ha'ab, from your father's relative, which is his brother's wife, Doidasai. And therefore, you can't learn it out from his sister, because a sister is your own relatives. And therefore, maybe you should learn out from your father's brother's wife. Now, since you can't learn out from comparisons, because each one has logic supporting it, so that's what the Brisa says, Tamalim, that's what a second pasuk teaches in Parshas Kedoshim, which is in Perek Chof in Sefer Yikra, that says, Ervas achis avicha lo isagali, that one should not be megal the erva of his father's brother. Now, actually, this pasuk was seemingly unnecessary, because it's warning you about the erva of a father's sister, but it already warned it in Perek Yitches. And it should have just said only the punishment. There's always two components to a nisa. There's the ashar, the warning, and there's the einish. Like it does by a brother's wife or by a sister, it should have left out certain words, and it should have just said, Ish ki kach achis av achis imay, avayin mi yiso. And the rest of it, which is talking about what you shouldn't do, which is the ashar, is extra. That comes to include the father's sister, beimena av, beimena aim. That's what we know that would be, because since we couldn't figure it out from the Svara, that's what this extra pasuk is teaching us, that whether it's a paternal sister or even a maternal sister will be forbidden. Same thing applies by Ervas Achis Imcha Lo Isagale, that when it's that repeating again the mother's sister's erva, that's also to tell you beimena av, beimena aim, whether it's paternal or even his mother's maternal sister. Now, the Gemara asks, Lamali Lamichtava, why was it necessary to write an extra pasuk for both Bachis Av, for the father's sister, and Lamali Michtav Bachis Aim, why does it have to repeat a second pasuk also for the mother's sister? Should have written by one of them, and we would have known that we know that either parent's sister, that's even if it's maternally, as we have an extra pasuk, why does it have to repeat it for both of them? So Amar Rav, he says, Trichino, we had to say both of them, because Dikas Rachmana Bachis Av, had we only written a second pasuk for the father's sister, which would have included a maternal sister, that by a father's relationships, Shekin Yishlo Chayas, where there's Yichus, that is, a father's family is called Mishpacha. As it says in Bamidbar, in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it says, V'yisyaldo ha-mishpachaisim lebeis avoisim. A lineage is created by paternally. So there where there is Yichus, there you'll say that maybe only over there there's a stronger connections. So the father's sister will be even maternally. But maybe for the mother's sister, I would have thought to say that when it's maternally, then it wouldn't be considered a forbidden relationship. Now, because that's why you have to say also achisim. Now, because Rachman b'chisim had only written the mother's sister a second time to include maternally, I would have thought to say that it would only be by the mother's sister, not by the father's sister. Shekim Badoy is because a mother's sister is definitely her relative, because we know that they came out of the same womb. Avlochais Av, but the father's sister, which maybe Chaz Shalom, it's not his father, Emaloi, maybe would say that's his sister, that's maternally, would not be forbidden, because maybe it's not even the father, because you can't prove that it's the father, because maybe this woman actually conceived from someone else. Whereas by birth, there could be witnesses seeing the birth, saying that they came out of the same woman. And therefore, maybe there I would have thought to say, actually, b'achayis av, it would not apply mina'im to. And that tzricha, therefore you need to say both, because each one has a stringency that the other one doesn't have. Tzricha, that's why it was necessary to write it, both to repeat it for achayis av, achayisim, because it's each one's stringency. And again, that's how we see that this pasuk in v'yirkachav was a superfluous pasuk, which as we said, it was unnecessary. But it's to tell you a drasha that it will be even maternally, not only paternally. That's why, as we said, it says there also in the pasuk, hara, the concept of hara, which actually comes to include behema, that hara will be even over there, which we had asked, but why does it say over here, by which is only chiva creases? It should have said by something chiva misses bez, just like behema. That's what we're saying, because since, as we said just now, that it's l'drasha, so therefore we include other drashas already in the pasuk, and as we said, because it was unnecessary to say this pasuk. Now, the Gemara returns to one of the assumptions that we had in the previous Braisa, that we weren't sure what would we compare Achis Av, Achis Eim to Deidasai or to one's own sister. So one of the assumptions was, but Deidasai de Pshit Le'etana, the Gemara asked that regarding one's aunt, meaning his father's brother's wife, where it was obvious to the Tana, Demin Ha'av Le'min Eim, that there is only paternally, not maternally, and therefore we thought maybe to compare it to Deidasai, and therefore Achis Av would only be paternally, Minole. And the Gemara asks, where does that Tana know that it's only paternally, not maternally? So that Amar Rava says, because Asya doi doi doi, we learn that a comparison of the term uncle to uncle, where Ksiv Hachet says over here in the Parashah of Arayis, says, if one has relations with his aunt, his father's brother's wife, says, Eves doi doi gila. So he has revealed the nakedness of his uncle by having relations with his wife. Now, B'Ksiv Hasim, it says also the same term of doidoi regarding someone that sells himself as a slave to non-Jews. It says that oidoidoi oiben doidoi galena, so that either his uncle or the son of his uncle should redeem him. Now, ma'la halimina avalimina aim, just like over there. Who are we talking about when we're saying his uncle? It means his from his father and not from his mother's side. In other words, his father's paternal brother is considered a relative regarding redeeming him. And that's because the mitzvah of redemption is more on the father's relatives than the mother's relatives. So Avkam and Avalim, therefore also be here when they use the term doidoi as a reference to paternal and not maternal. Which the Gemara asks for Hasam and all. How do you know over there regarding the sale of a person to a non-Jew that has to be redeemed by his uncle? It means paternal, not maternal. So Makro, because the pasuk says Mimishpachto yigalenu, that from his family he should be redeemed. And that's how we know it's paternal, because Mishpachas Av Kuri Mishpacha, a father's family is called family. Mishpachas Im in the Kuri Mishpacha, a mother's family is not called family. As we said, regarding the halachas of inheritance, of redemption, that the halacha of Yichas is called Mishpacha, as it says in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Yisyalda Mishpachasim Lepes Abaisim, that's patrilineal descent. Hence, that's defined mishpacha by the father's side. So when it says doido over there, since it says mishpacha, it means paternally, and that's how we learn up to the halachas of Arayis, of the dasa, it means paternally, and that's where the Braisa took that assumption and said that if we're going to compare achis av to the dasa, it's only going to be paternally and not maternally.